kind of humbles you, doesn't it? You know? And I appreciate, Brother Brent, thank you. Appreciate your testimony. And appreciate your family. Appreciate Brother Fry. And again, something he said, you know, that we need to really, I guess, meditate on is I hear people all the time say things like this. They'll say, well, you know, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. And they say that until they think it could be their time to go, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, well, I got to do everything I can to preserve life. And so if we're not careful, just what he said. And I appreciate him doing it. I didn't know that he was going to mention that. But, you know, people will say things to me, you know, and I hear it all the time. You say faith over fear, and they'll say, well, you don't know what it's like to have this virus. He does. Amen. He does. He does. They do. They do. And so a lot of times people say, well, you don't have the right to speak on that, right? Well, he does. And he does. And they didn't say there wasn't a virus, didn't say it wasn't bad. But we still got something to do. Living by faith is not just with your finances, it's with everything, right? And again, I'm not advocating that people, you know, if, again, they don't feel comfortable coming to church, they, you know, that's between them and the Lord. But I'm like you, preacher. I think that so many people are just, that say they're saved, love Jesus, are sitting at home saying, you know, I'm not going to church. I'm afraid of this virus. But they'll do everything else in the world they want to do and go every other place they want to go. And you know, here's the ultimate goal. I said this morning, Satan wants to shut down the church. And he's using people. He's using government. Yeah. He's using discouragement. He's even using the brethren. People are, they look, say, well, you know, going to church is a super spreader. Well, it wasn't a super spreader when they was burning down stores and marching in the street. It isn't a super spreader to go to Walmart and a super spreader to go to Lowe's. It had nothing to do with the super spreader. They want to shut down the light. Satan wants to, he wants the gospel not to be preached because that's the hope for America. That's the hope for man. And so we sit back and we'll say, well, I'm scared too. I'm scared, you know. And this is not about a mask. It's not a mask. This is about God's people living in the last days and doing what God's called us to do. That's it. And if we will not do it, nobody else is going to, right? So thank you, men. Appreciate the testimony tonight. I want to share just a few verses of Scripture with you in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And begin in verse number 12. And I agree with what Brother Fry said. This is our enemy. It is an enemy. It's not the only one. But he mentioned to me the other week, he said, this COVID thing has become our God. That's all we talk about. It's all we think about. And if greater is he that's in me than he's in the world, no matter what situation we're in, then we ought to make more of him, right? We ought to make much of him. We should talk about him. And every conversation you have is the same thing. It has to do with the virus. Let's talk about him. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 12. Let's stand together if you're able to tonight. If you're not, you stay seated. But if you're able to and would, let's stand together. The Bible said, for as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized. I want you to look at the next few verses, how many times the word one is in there. Verse 12, for as the body is one. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's important. Doesn't say some are cared for, some aren't. It said the same care should be for everybody, right? So here's what I want you to think about right there in that scripture. What kind of care you desire from your church is the same care you should give to others in your church, right? Because a lot of times we look and say, you know what? I was at home. I was sick. Nobody called me. Nobody came and visited. Nobody brought me a meal. But you've never done that with anybody else. That's not preacher's theology. We just read that, correct? So verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it's true. Whether we like it or not, it's true. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Thank you for these dear men of God and the way you've touched them and their family. And Lord, I pray that you'd use the message tonight to stir our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I was thinking, as Brother Fry was saying, he was going to drive that motor home, and he said his family told him not to do it. And I would just think by now, Brother Fry, they'd know that if you've decided you're going to do something, they're not going to change your mind. If he had told me, preacher, what do you think? I'd say, well, now, preacher, what do you think? Amen? Because I'm with you on that. And so, but I sure appreciate that. What a great testimony tonight from these men. And it goes along with the message because as we look at our missionaries, we look at the Pruitts and we look at Brother Berge, we look at Brother Fry, other missionaries we support, he mentioned it, and you're probably a worse church member than him because he does show up a few times a year, and when you guys are gone, we won't see you for a long time. But the fact is, we're all put together to do different things. We're all here in the body, not just of the local church, but of the saved body of believers. We cannot do what they do. They cannot do what we do. God's not called me to be an evangelist. God's not called me to go to South Africa. He's not called our church to pick up and move there. He's called us to be the light here. And so we all have different things to do, and sometimes I get discouraged that there's not more unity among believers. And really, that's what God wants. He wants unity. He wants us, and we get it, you know. Now people are saying, let's all come together now that our side won the election. Now let's all come together. And when it comes to Christianity, it's like, let's put our differences aside and figure out what we can agree on. But that's not biblical, see. We have to agree on doctrine. If we can't agree on doctrine, then how can two walk together except they be agreed, right? And so we can disagree on some things, but when it comes to biblical matters, when it comes to doctrine, then we have to come together in one accord on that. And so when we think of that word unity, we think oftentimes of, well, it means that compromise, I guess what we would call. You give up some things, I give up some things, you get some things you want, then I get some things I want. Well, in this scenario, when we talk about the church, it's not about compromise because it's not your church and it's not mine, right? And oftentimes we'll say, well, I like this in a church and I like this and I prefer. We call it preferences. And we get caught up on preferences, thinking that we've done some great spiritual thing by compromising our preferences. Who cares about your preference or mine? That's really not what matters. See, we've so surrounded ourselves with what we want and what we like that we're missing the whole reason we're even here. And so there's much to separate us from one another. Let's be honest. Culturally, we're different. Preferences, we're different. Financially, we're different. Politically, we may be different. But there is one area where we're alike, and each one of us belong to God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That at the end of the day, that's really what matters. I got an email from a brother in Pakistan. I don't know how we got to be friends on Facebook, but almost every Sunday he said, "Preacher, I'm praying for you and hope you'll pray for us." And this morning he said, "We had a great service. Hope you guys do." And I don't know this guy. And he could walk in here today and say, "I'm so-and-so," and I've never met him. But it is good to know that there are some saved people all over the world that are praying for Currytown Baptist Church, amen, and that we don't ever have to meet them. They don't ever have to meet us, but we're on the same team doing the same thing. And the fact is, it's not nationality. It's not, whether or not we speak the same language. It's the fact that we're saved by the grace of God. So as we look, there is one area where we are alike, and that's that we belong to Jesus Christ. And the human body God uses as an illustration of the unity of the church. Listen, you cannot have unity in the church until we realize that we're not the head. I said again, you're not the head, neither am I, right? And as we see this, the body is made up of many members, each different, but working together for a singular purpose. We don't all need to be doing the same thing. We don't all need to desire the same office. We have to realize that God has given us different gifts to be used for the edification of the body and to help the body grow. And if you'll find your place and where you fit in, I promise you this, you won't be near as jealous and discouraged what others do. And I'm thankful that our church, and I'm not saying we're perfect, I realize that. Listen, the wheels could fall off tomorrow, but I sure am thankful that I don't see a lot of jealousy. Matter of fact, more people honestly need to get involved, and I don't see people, Brother Matt, that say, "Listen, Pastor sang three times in a row. I didn't make the schedule, by the way. Now I don't have to sing for 6 months." We don't see that, and I'm thankful for that. If you can just figure out how to be a blessing and not get jealous and not get bitter about everybody else and just worry about doing your job and doing what God's called you to do, guess what? The body all of a sudden starts working like it's supposed to. So here we have a singular purpose, and I want to share just 2 points tonight real quickly. Number one is unity is based on relationship. Unity is based on relationship. Fact is, what binds us together is a relationship. I was thinking this afternoon, Brother Brent, how often people say this. The Bible says we're to love one another, right? And somehow, as human beings, we have even finagled a way to quote-unquote love people without liking them. You ever heard somebody say that? "I love you, but I don't like you." Now, let's put that in perspective, right? Is there anything else in this world that you love but you don't like? You say, "What about your children?" Listen, some of you, I see it in your face going, "All right, preacher, where are you going?" You like your children. You love your children. You like your spouse and you love your spouse. You like chicken and you say you love chicken, right? All the things that you say you love, you actually like as well, except when it comes to a forgiving somebody, right? Then all of a sudden, I know the Bible said I've got to love you, but that doesn't mean I got to like you. You're not going to love somebody if you don't like them. Yeah, huh? So you're basically giving lip service to the word love, saying God is making me love you. And so it's like a brother and sister. You say, "Listen, now they can't stand each other. They fight, they argue, they want to kill each other." And you say, "Okay, now show your brother you love him," and they give one of these hugs, right? He's all in. He does that. But that's what we're saying. "I love you, but I don't like you." Well, how are you going to do that? You've got to figure out how to join together. And that's why forgiveness is so important. You cannot love somebody and not like them. Can't do it. You can't love the church and not like it. You can't love the Lord and not like it. You say you love God, you'd want to be around him. Right? You'd want to please him. Singing it doesn't matter. Saying it doesn't matter. Do you love God? Sure, I love Jesus with all my heart. Do you? Well, if you love me, keep my commandments. So as we look at this, our unity is based on relationship, and that relationship centers around the Savior. Our relationship with the Savior. Every part of the body is connected to the head. Amen? You say the hand's not connected to the head. Sure it is. It's connected by the arm, right? Which is connected to the torso, which is connected to the neck, which is connected to the head. So every part of the body is connected to the head. Well, also, the brain, the head, is the nerve center to the rest of the body. And so you've got all these little nerves running through your body, up your spine to your brain that goes out to different parts of the body. So you have to realize, and I have to realize, every part of the body is connected to the head, and the head is what dictates. It is the control center of the rest of the body. So the hand doesn't go off here and say, I'm just going to do whatever I want to. The brain tells the hand what to do. Are you with me? And we'll say, well, I'm just my own man. I'm my own woman. I do what I want to do. What you're saying is you're rebellious, and you're not connected to the head, so you really don't want to be a part of the body. So every part of the body is not only connected to the head, but it's connected to the rest of the body through the Savior, through the head. So the head is the control center of every part of the body, and if you're not connected to the head, you're dead. That's where a lot of Christians are today. They're not. I'm not talking about being connected to the church. You're not going to be connected to the church until you're connected to the head. And if you're connected to the head, then you will be part of the church. So the relationship with the Savior. Listen, whether or not we like the same football team, whether or not we like the same hobbies, whether or not we like the same politician, doesn't matter. What matters is, do we have a relationship that is common, that is similar, and that relationship must be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the highest and most important relationship we can have. And when you and I have it, it connects us to every other part of the body. All right, so the relationship with the Savior, and then there's the relationship with each other. Each part of the body is dependent on other parts of the body. The scripture saying here, if the ears say, listen, I'm not the eye, why do we need the eye? You need the eyes. If you don't want to bang your knees up, if you don't want to run into stuff, you'll need eyeballs, right? As you get older, they don't work as good. As you get older and older and older, they don't work as good, right? And so young people got something to look forward to. Some of you got glasses already. It doesn't get better. Didn't mean to blow you up there. But the Bible said in verse 17, the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased them. So he's saying we're not all the same, right? Some of you sing well. Some of us don't sing well. Some preach. Some don't preach. Some are great encouragers. Some of you are not good encouragers. So you can listen, you can save your words of encouragement because you're not encouraging, right? That's not your gift. Figure out something else. Well, I want to be a Barnabas. Well, you're not, right? So you got to figure out where you fit in. And then when you figure out where you fit in, you got to help the rest of the body. You got to help the rest of the body glorify the head, right? And you've got to glorify the head. So here, each part of the body is dependent on other parts. I just mentioned it. I'm not going to South Africa. That's not where God called me. But he did call me to make sure people get saved in South Africa. So therefore, his job, their job, is to reach people in South Africa. Brother Fry travels all up and down the East Coast. He travels all over the country. That's not what God's called me to do. So therefore, I'm dependent on him to do that. They're dependent on us, right, to make sure they have the ability, the means to do it. Brother Jose is reaching Spanish in this community. I can't do it. I can order a taco, right, in Spanish. That's why we need him. He does a great job. But see, you and I can't do that. So we have to support him. We have to support Arlene, the kids. We have to support the Berge family. We have to support the Fries. We have to support the Pruitts. We have to support all those other missionaries, not only in prayer. Amen. You say, I pray for you. Great. But you have to support them financially. I know we're in COVID. I know it's Christmas. But we've made commitments as a church, and the church is you. The church is not the building. The church is not the bank account. You and I have made a commitment to support 125 missionaries monthly. And so just because we fall on Christmas time money doesn't mean they don't get their money. Amen. So each part of the body is important to the rest of the body. And each part of the body is less without other parts. Now, I didn't say it couldn't function, but it's not full capacity. You're going to, and by the way, let me say this. Physically, if you have all of your faculties, if you have all of the parts that God gave you, you ought to thank God, number one, and you ought to use them to the best of your ability. Everybody physically does not have two legs and two arms. Everyone, as Brother Fry said, Miss Polly, her vision is not there, right? Some folks are losing their mental capabilities, right? And I'm not critical. I'm saying the things that we take for granted, we ought to use while we can to glorify God, because you may not always have them. Yeah? And I get it. Brother Jimmy, I get it. I turned 50. I get up. And I know some of you, I get so tired of y'all doing it. Well, you ain't old. Well, I'm older than I was. But Junior, I didn't have gray hair when I was 25 years old. My knees and back didn't hurt. My elbow, I didn't wake up, my elbow hurting, Brother Ken, every day when I was 25 years old. So yeah, I'm getting older. And I got to realize that stuff don't work like it used to. But can I say this? That shouldn't be the way it is in the church. See, we have too many used to Christians, used to church. Well, I tell you how we used to do it. I used to serve. I used to run a bus route. I used to sing in the choir. Now, I just don't do nothing. Well, can I say this with all the compassion and love I can? Shame on you. I'm going to say it again. Shame on you. I hadn't really just skinned the cat in a while. So I'm just going to shuck the corn tonight because it's Christmas time. And our churches are full of lazy Christians that don't do much anything but complain about what's not going on. I'm serious. And I know we got people that work in this church, but we got some that don't do nothing. They sit back and complain about all that doesn't get done, but they don't do anything to help get it done. But Chad, don't give, don't show up. Come late, leave early. Hey, you want a better church? Well, I wish our church would do this. Then raise your hand and say, I'll do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Brent said, I can't wait till we get back to South Africa. I didn't come for all that kind of stuff. But we're sitting back waiting on this miracle to take place. When COVID's over, we'll get back to normal. You don't wait on something to happen to get back to normal. You just push on through. You don't know. Listen, they're saying it may be June before, all this COVID vaccine. Then they're saying you got to wear a mask anyway. They don't know what the side effects of this vaccine do. It may be 100% great, but it may not. It may not fix the problem, folks, what I'm saying. But if we're going to sit back and wait till the government solves our problem, we may be waiting till Jesus comes back. And so if you've got a part of the body, Brother Junior, that just doesn't do anything, right? Your leg, you say, listen, my leg hurts. Brother Fry, you went through physical therapy. They didn't let him sit in the hospital and wither away. They said, listen, man, we're going to get you up, and you don't feel like it, and it's going to hurt a little bit, but you're going to have to get up and start moving your body parts to get them strong again. And may I say, spiritually, there's some in this church and in other churches, and maybe watching by way of internet, you need to start exercising your spiritual gifts a little bit more and stop letting everybody else do all the work. See, when parts of the body are separated, they die. You cut your hand off, it ain't going to live, right? Cut your arm off, it's going, when it doesn't get the blood and nutrients that it needs, that part dies. And so Brother Fry mentioned it. He said, we got folks that used to serve God, love God. They got away from God, got out of church. And you know what they did spiritually, Brother Matt? They died. They don't want anything to do with God anymore. They don't want to glorify the head anymore. They don't want to magnify the head, right? They're complainers and they're whiners and they don't see. They think everything's got to be about them instead of about we being here. Listen, we're here to make much of the head. The reason we can have unity is because it's based on relationship. Number two, unity based on purpose. It's one thing to have relationship, but what even if how can two walk together except they be agreed? We have to have a common goal, right? It's not just the fact, what's this? You take a sports team, just because you put on the uniform, that makes you part of the team. If you can get those guys to want and desire to win more than anything else, now you've got a chance at being a champion. Just because you're good enough to make the team and put on a uniform does not mean your team is automatically going to be champions. But when you got people that are saying, I don't care about anything else, I care about this one thing. One. That's it. Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. One. I didn't say everybody had to be a preacher. I didn't say everybody had to be a missionary. But if your purpose and mine is not to bring glory to the head, we're not going to last. Right? So the unity based on purpose is this, to glorify God. I know you say, preach, you say it all the time. I get it. But are you getting it? One thing to get it, it's another thing to get it. Right? So our purpose in salvation is to bring glory to God. God saved you to bring glory to himself. He died on the cross, born to die upon Calvary, not just so you and I could say, hallelujah, I'm saved, go to heaven one day. He saved you to bring glory to himself. Think about this. If I brought some old antique piece of pottery in here, or some kind of silver, and it looked awful and tarnished and dirty and just nasty, and I said, look at this great gem I found. You say, that's trash. Man, preacher's lost his mind. Look at my diamond. Look how shiny it is. It's brand new. You say, this is more valuable than that old piece of trash you got. But let's say I got it and I took it to somebody. And they said, man, that thing's valuable. And I look at it and say, I don't see the value in it. He said, let me clean it up for you. Right? You with me?
Sure.
Let me polish that thing up a little bit. Let me take some extra time and knock the dents out.
Right.
Let me put this solution on it to make it shine. And you find out that antique was part of a treasure somewhere. But because it had seen the storms, because it'd seen the weather, because it'd seen hard times, it tarnished it. And you had that thing appraised, and you took that diamond ring, and it appraised, and they said, oh, that's worth quite a bit. But then you took that old, trashy piece of silver that somebody gave, and they said, you don't realize the gem you've got. Now, you think it would be worth that to say, look what I found, look what I polished, now it's more valuable than this new thing. Do you think it'd be worth having? Well, see, that's what the Lord did with you. You weren't that shiny diamond. You were that old trashy looking piece of silver that nobody wanted, that nobody thought would amount to anything, that looked over and said, hey, they're not worth a whole lot. But then all of a sudden, one day the Holy Ghost of God passed by your way and showed you your need of salvation, and the blood of Christ washed away your sin. And now every time you sin, he's taking that blood and he's just dabbing that sin off of there, and he's making that garment white. I'm just saying, folks, if you'd ever get a hold of it, if you'd ever see that the reason God saved you was to bring glory to himself, to take those vessels of dishonor and make them vessels of honor, that as people see you and hear your testimony, they say, man, I remember when he was a drug addict or an alcoholic or a whoremonger, but boy, something happened to him. He got religion. And you can say, it wasn't religion that saved me. It's the blood of Jesus. I'm saying that, my friend, is why we're here, to glorify God in salvation. And then we're to glorify God by telling others. You really think if you had that silver, you found out it was some royalty from times past, you'd do one of two things. You could share it, maybe put it in a museum, or you'd go put it in a safe somewhere and hide it. Right? If it's real, Brother Chad, I'd probably hide it. But that doesn't go good with my outline. So what I'm saying is, right, people deserve to hear the gospel. They deserve it. You say, I thought we didn't deserve anything but hell. Right, we don't. But once we're saved, we ought to want to tell people what happened to us. God desires for people to hear the gospel. That's why he left the church here. That's why he left the body here. People are desperate to hear the gospel. They want it. They don't know what they want, but they want something different. That's why they turn to drugs. That's why they turn to alcohol. That's why they turn to illicit relationships. That's why they turn to cults. And that's why they turn to all the things they turn to. They want something. They just don't know what it is. They got a void, right? They got a hole. And so tonight, you and I, if we're going to glorify the head, we got to tell others. Then there's unity based on purpose, is to edify one another. It's what we're here for. We're not here just here preaching. Hey, Brother Brent mentioned it. They listen to preaching on the road. Well, that's great. I'm glad we're able to offer that. But it's not the same as being right here in this building. It's not the same as being around brothers and sisters in Christ. You can listen to preaching on the radio if you want to. It's not the same. And I enjoy it. I used to listen to Brother Fry. I tell you this. I listened to him years and years and years on the radio before I ever met him. I'd sit in a dump truck all day long, listen to preaching on the radio all day long. And I enjoyed it. But it wasn't like being in church, hearing the choir sing, hearing the musicians play, being right there in the middle of it. Amen. It wasn't the same. We're here to edify one another. Listen, it's not just lost people that are discouraged. It's not just people that don't know Jesus. There's the people that name the name of Christ. They're discouraged too. And I get it. Hey, listen, I get it. In theory, we should just pull up our bootstraps and serve Jesus. We ought to, Brother Eddie, we ought to just keep our eyes on the prize. I know all the preaching. I've done it. But sometimes we need more. If this old war horse right here, this saint of God, tell you he got discouraged in the storm, you will. You will. You think about these preachers. Well, Fry, you know some of them took their own life. I just don't see how somebody could do that. These are men of God. These are men that I know, listen, they love the Lord, serve God, prayer life. It can happen to you. Not me, preacher. I'm too strong. You go ahead. You put that target on your back. You'll have more than one arrow shot at you. We need each other. Hey, this family right here, they're going to be gone next week. You say, well, we won't see them again. Maybe not, but they need you. They sure do. This dear man of God hitting the road, we may not see him again for weeks or months, but he needs you. All these missionaries, they need you. Listen, I ain't just talking about off somewhere. Guess what? I need you. My wife needs you. My kids need you. You need each other. You better get this tonight. You start separating yourself from the body. Guess what happens? You'll become a casualty of war. You'll be left on the battlefield somewhere. You better get in. You better hold on tight. You better not ever say, I don't need anybody. I'll do it myself. Because guess what? You may just be in there in a place to prove your point. And I've done this a while. I've seen a lot of people I thought were strong. Can't find them. You look at them, thought they all had it all together. Church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Good tithers, love missions. Listen, came to Sunday school. You check your boxes if you want to. They checked them all. You know where they're at? Not in church. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. That's why the Bible, in that scripture, how many times did you see the word one? One. We need each other. We need each other. Unity of the church. And you know what's going to happen? I think as we go on, we're going to see the need for unity in the church even greater, because we're going to have less help from outside the church. See, we have enjoyed for many generations. Listen, I'm talking about people, Brother Fry, that weren't even saved. In our government, they saw the value of freedom to worship. They understood our country was built on that. Well, you're going to see less and less that mentality, not only from men that don't know Christ, but some that say they do. Some say they're part of this church or that church. And, you know, it is interesting to me, not to be critical, but I do find it interesting that our president-elect and vice-president-elect talk about what good Christians they are, yet they won't kill all these millions of babies. I didn't know that was good Christianity. They'll be the same ones who won't shut the church. And I'm not picking on them, because there's a lot more in that in our government. And watch this, that say they're churches. They want to see churches like this shut down because we just preach truth, right? Better hold on to each other. Better serve the Lord till he comes, because we need unity. We don't need division right now. We don't need schisms. We don't need this clique and that clique. We need to be one. Say, you know what? We're in a war. We're not in a war against the Pentecostals or the Methodists or, you know, Southern Baptists. We're not in a war against them. We're fighting a bigger enemy. You know what? We're not even in a war, Brother Fry, against people that do not have all the standards and convictions that we have, by the way. They're not going to sway me. But I don't need to go in there and try to pastor their church on social media and talk about how they ain't right with God and all the rest of it. I'm not the Holy Ghost. But let me say this. Watch this. They're not going to come in here and pastor this one either. They're not going to influence our standards and convictions either. So don't you get your ideas and say, I'll tell you what our church ought to do. We don't need that. We need to stay in our lane. We need to be unified in our lane. And then we can agree to disagree on some stuff and keep the main thing the main thing. But can I say this? It's hard to get people in a church to agree on things. But if the head's right, the body's right. The unity of the church. We will glorify God. We will extend His glory as the church is unified. Let's stand together. Thank you tonight for your attention. Let's bow our heads tonight. I want to do something different. I know we're going to pray around the altar, but Brother Brent, will you bring your family up? I want to pray for them. Our church, gather around them and pray as they travel this week.